This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for this time of the year that we celebrate your resurrection and, of course, the purchased price of our redemption for all those that would put their faith and trust in what you did for them, imparting your righteousness by your righteous blood, the sinless, perfect blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for all of our sins. You give them eternal life, and we thank you for that gift that cost you everything and yet is given to us. May you open up hearts and minds, and may you remind us, Lord, of what you've given to us. And Lord, that we might seek you and walk with you all the days of our life until we see you face to face. May you guide us in that. May you give us a heart and a desire for that. May we call upon you to do that in our lives. So bless, and we'll give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Why Seek Ye the Living Among the Dead?" Why seek ye the living among the dead? And here we find disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were all women at this particular time that were coming to the tomb, and they had made a preparation of spices and to anoint the Lord's body, kind of like maybe some would go and put flowers and things of that nature. But in this particular case, they were odors. They were supposed to be something very nice and that was typically done. And by the way, preparation was made prior to this time that they were coming, because it was the Passover, and so they were making these preparations. And so the problem is they misunderstood or did not understand, and they were in dismay, if you will, and they were perplexed about some things, and we'll look at that here in just a moment, about what had happened, because they all believed, all of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ believed that he was the Savior of the world, and that for some reason they didn't understand that he was going to die and raise again the third day, even though he'd been telling them this. But they were seeking the Lord nonetheless, and God gives answers when we seek him. He says, if you seek, you will what? Find. If you seek, you will find. So this morning, we're going to see what happens without Christ. We're going to notice what happens with Christ. And then, of course, we're going to see the work of Christ. But here we're confronted with this vital question, why seek ye the living among the dead? And so sometimes the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ get confused. And this with this question here, God is going to call the disciples back to the truth. Ever since the fall of mankind in the garden, the human heart has been inclined to misunderstand spiritual things. We often see what is before us, but yet we fail to perceive God's purpose. But God in his wisdom and mercy and his grace sets all things in their proper perspective. I'll give you an example of the story of Joseph and his brethren. This was Israel, really all of Israel and the 12 tribes here. And they did not like Joseph, and yet they conspired against him, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him over to Egypt. And some many years later, they end up before Joseph, and the story goes that Joseph reveals himself to them, and they are in shock, because they thought they had gotten rid of him. They told their dad, they took his coat and dipped it in blood, and they said, "Is this your son's coat, Joseph's coat?" And Joseph's dad said, "No doubt about it, this is his coat." some beast has devoured him. Some beast has killed him. And so for many years, he lived with the idea that his son Joseph had been killed by this animal. Meanwhile, the whole time, these brothers knew exactly what had happened to him, where he was at. But they didn't really know what was going on over the years, and they were probably hoping that something happened to him where he would be gone. They never expected, I think, to see him one day again as they stood before him. And he said, he reveals himself to them. He says, I'm your brother Joseph. And their jaws, if you can imagine, are on the ground. And he said, don't think bad of yourselves. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, Joseph was able to see what God was doing in his life. And sometimes we don't always see that. And yet, even when we misunderstand, like these disciples did here this morning, we're going to look at, God was still very kind to them to bring them back to understanding what faith in him really is all about. So let's look at these first 12 verses here and see what happens without Christ. Again, these ladies here, they had prepared these spices and they were going there to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only problem is that the Lord's not in the grave anymore. They misunderstood. So their preparation was with good intentions, but they were misguided because the Lord wasn't there. So really, they really weren't doing anything. It was a good thing, but yet the Lord was not there. So notice here in verse 2, it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So nothing is ringing true at this moment to them. They're thinking somebody had taken the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what it says here as they entered in verse 3 and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed. So here we find this perplexity instead of hope in their lives. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. But that's what happens when we misunderstand things that God is doing and wanting to do in our lives. If our faith truly is in the Lord, does he hold us in his hand? For how long? You mean to tell me that God holds us in his hands when he asks us to do something or when something happens that we don't plan for? Are you telling me that the Lord holds us in his hands still? Absolutely he does. That's what his promise is. And he'll never let us go. Isn't that great? We can have that kind of assurance. So keep this in mind. These ladies are perplexed. We just saw that, right? They were much perplexed. And the Lord, is he still holding them in his hands? Yes, he is. So notice what happens here. Let's look at verse 4. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are angels. And God sent them a messenger so that they would understand what he was doing. And notice this in verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces, listen, what would you do if angels appeared before you? Would you maybe listen to what they have to say? But listen, they're still looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and minds. They still think something has happened to the Lord. And so they're in the midst of a great revelation here, but they're not able to see it because they've got this perplexion going on in their hearts and in their minds that is keeping them from understanding what has taken place. So they're afraid here. They bow down and they said unto them, that the angels did, why seek ye the living among the dead? The angels are wanting them to understand that Jesus has risen again. Amen? That he has fulfilled the promise of paying for our sins and raising again, showing that we also have a new life in him. So as they're there, they're asked this question. And notice again in verse 6, he says, and he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee. He had told them these things, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Guess what day it is? It's the third day, right? It's the third day. And notice what happens here now in verse 8. Look at the Lord's intervention here. And they remembered his words. Now it's making sense to them. So what do they do with this newfound information? And verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Do you think they had a story to tell now? absolutely. Who brought that about? Remember, they were much perplexed. They were in despair. Their world was turned upside down, and now the Lord intervenes on their behalf because they're seeking the Lord. Listen, things they're not operating the right way. They're preparing spices for what they believe could be the Lord's dead body because they've not understood that he's resurrected from the dead. But listen, they are still exercising faith in the Lord. They're still seeking God, and God in his mercy, even though they're misunderstanding what has happened, God gives them the answer that they're looking for, because God tells us if we seek him, we'll find him. Here's the beautiful story. Ready? The story is that God has given you and I the freedom to make choices, has he not?
Yes.
And back in the Garden of Eden, because Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman, they chose to listen to the lie of the devil and say, he said, you be God. That's what he wants us to do. He says, I don't care. Listen, I just don't want you to serve the Lord. You can even be your own God, and I'm good with that. And so that's what they did. They chose to disobey the Lord. They partook of the fruit that was forbidden to them. The Lord said, everything else is yours, but this one thing. Now, why would God do that? Some people say, well, why would God put that in the first place there for them to? Because it's a choice. We choose whether or not we're going to love the Lord, and it reveals to us something God already knew. In eternity past, before he ever created us, he knew that Adam and Eve were going to fall, and in eternity past, he had designed the plan for us to have eternal life through his son. All this was planned prior. Why? Because he loves us, and God wants us to make that freedom of choice. You wouldn't want to be made to love somebody, would you? No, you wouldn't want to be made. That's not real love. You just need to love this person, and maybe you can't stand them. That's not real love. God wants us to love him of our own free will, does he not? Of our own free will. And so that's what he has done. And so because mankind has sinned and fallen away from the Lord, but he provided in eternity past the plan and fulfilled it in the Lord Jesus Christ, now we have the choice. This is the only faith. And the word faith and trust can be interchanged. The only thing you can place your trust in that's assured, it's not reliant upon you, is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other religion is man-made. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. The only true faith is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Every other religion says, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. And who made up those rules? Mankind made up those rules. So you do this and you do that, and then here's what we do. I do this and I do that, and I don't do this and I don't do that. And that gets us nowhere, because who are we looking to? I do this and I don't do that. Who am I looking to? I'm looking to myself. But the Lord says, you and I have no righteousness, and even the good things that we do before the Lord, he says, they're as filthy rags. He says, I can't accept your righteousness, but here's what I've done. I've given to you my son to take your place. And he received the worst of the ridicule. He received a horrible physical treatment and a beating. But the worst part of it all was when all of our sins were placed on him. And we don't understand this. And God the Father looked away, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That has never happened in all of eternity to the Son of God till that time. But he took our sins, that we might have his righteousness. So the way that it works is that Jesus Christ came and took our sins to give us his righteousness. So now who do we look to? I can't pay for my own sins, but Jesus did.
Amen.
So who am I going to praise throughout all eternity, myself or the Lord? The Lord, I praise him for what he did for me, because I don't even deserve it. We'd like to think well of ourselves, but who are we in the first place? A lot of people think there's something special, but aren't we all going to live and die? And then what? When we leave this world, we're not going to stand before a God in our own mind or in somebody else's mind. We're going to stand before God Almighty, who spoke everything into being and created everything. And that is the only one triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit lay claim to all of creation. Nobody else does that. And nobody else gives you a sacrifice where God does all the work. Not part of it, not most of it. He does it all. And when he died on the cross, remember what he said? It is finished. What was finished? Our eternal life. He paid it all. And all you and I have to do, this is the hard part, ready? This is the really, it's not impossible, but it's hard. All you and I have to do is admit we're wrong. All you and I have to do is, yep, I'm a sinner. Yep, what does that mean? That means I do things against the Lord and against others as well. We may not like to think that. Somebody was telling me not too long ago, they were buying a car, and the salesman said, oh, this is some kind of a fee, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take that fee and give it to the next person that buys a car. And he said, yeah, all right. And I'm thinking, you really believe that? That guy's really selling you a car because he's not sending anything. But you're okay with giving it to somebody else if it benefits you, right? So we by nature look out for ourselves. Ready? What how's the saying go? Look out for number. Who is that? But it's really God, isn't it? It's really God. So we're not really looking out for him. And so what are these sins? Well, the Lord said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you looked upon a woman with the wrong intent in your heart and mind, you've committed adultery already in your heart. The Ten Commandments say, don't lie. How many of us have never lied before? How many of us have never coveted before? So there's so many things that we already stand guilty before the Lord that God says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all paid for. But if you decide to pay for them, there's a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels that's not intended for you and I in hell that we can pay for them. Or we can have the Lord pay for them. What an easy deal. As they used to say, a no-brainer. We don't even have to think about that. The Lord has paid in the whole price complete, and all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. And that's what these people did, but what happened, these disciples here of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what happened, things did not go. Just so that you know, God's not a respecter of persons. God has his plan, and as God's people, we have to follow and trust his plan just as we did at the beginning when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody born on planet Earth that is on their way to heaven without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. There is no one born on planet Earth that has eternal life without putting their faith and trust, without being able to someplace in their time, in their life, say, you know, such and such time, they may not know the exact time, but maybe a certain age, I knew I was a sinner, I knew that I would pay for my own sins, but then I also understood that Jesus Christ paid for all of my sins, and that was the day I put my faith and trust in the Lord when I understood. And so likewise also, here are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They also need to understand, because there's freedom and peace in understanding. Do you think these women were glad to know that went there to go prepare, to lay the spices on the Lord? Do you think they were glad to know that the Lord had resurrected from the dead? Do you think they were happy and went back and told the other disciples? Absolutely. So look here. What happens here in verse 10? It says, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So they go back and they tell it to all the rest, to the 11 there in verse 9, when they come back from the sepulcher. And notice what happens to these disciples when they hear this word. Listen to this, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as what? Idle tales. And they believed them not. Do you know, listen, it takes about 6.7 or 7.2 times for people to hear the gospel before they receive it. So maybe you're just hearing it for the first time or the second time or the third time, but God is working to open up our understanding. These are the Lord's apostles, and they did not believe the truth. These are the apostles that followed the Lord Jesus Christ that were told all these things, and they didn't believe. So is it any wonder if a lost person doesn't believe the first time they hear it? And by the way, listen, these women didn't believe it either, because they were still looking and the angels were telling them and asking them, why do you seek the living among the dead? And that was the question, the almighty question that went into their brains finally and into their hearts, that the Lord had risen again from the dead. But the disciples and the apostles did not believe this. But notice what happens here in verse 12. And again, this is when they're on their own, when they're thinking in their own realm. But then what happens is they didn't believe in verse 11. But then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. You remember Peter? Peter was the one that said, Lord, I will not deny you. I am ready to die with you. You know, we don't know ourselves, but the Lord does. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? 3 times. And it wasn't all at once. But here's what he said. He even told this he was afraid of this little woman over here by the fire. And she says, yes, you were. I've seen you with him. And your speech gives you away. And here's what Peter said. I'm just paraphrasing. I don't even know the man. Peter, who was just a little while ago ready to die with him, says, I don't even know who you're talking about. And the Lord, the Bible says, listen, the Lord looked at him, and I believe it was with a eye of compassion and love towards him, telling him, this is what I told you would happen. Do you know what the Lord was trying to get Peter to understand? Believe the Lord when he says something. Believe the Lord. And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. But then when the Lord resurrected, the Lord wanted Peter to know also about his resurrection. And he says, I'm coming for Peter. And he even told him before he denied him, he said, Peter, I want you to know that Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you. And when you're converted, when you come back, when you turn back to believing the truth and what I've said, you're going to strengthen the brethren. God gave him a commission even before he fell to give him hope. What a great God we have. Listen, do you know that God is for us?
Amen.
And do you know that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, there is nobody that can stand against us. Isn't it good to have God for us?
Amen.
And why is he for us? Because he loves us. Amen. Now, I can't answer this question. Why does he love us? I don't know. I don't really know. Because, you know, I know me. And I will be the first one to tell you, I am not perfect. And I don't know why he saved me. I really don't. I know this. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. But why he loves me, I can't tell you. I really can't. Why? Why would the God who created everything and gave me his son? Can you imagine that? He gave his son in my place. He gave his son in your place to give you eternal life. Who does that? Who does that but God? How can he do that? And he tells us because he loves us, which is a wonderful truth. And again, I'll tell you, I don't understand it, but I'm glad that's the way it works. So he goes there and he stoops down. Look at verse 12 again. And he rose, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come came to pass. So he's working in Peter's heart, isn't he? He worked through the women here. He worked through the ladies that went out there. And now he's starting to spread this work out to his disciples. See, listen, the Lord is the one that brings us to faith or trust in him.
Amen.
It is the Holy Spirit that I can't talk you into it. And if I did talk you into it, nothing would happen. If I talked you into doing something that God wasn't doing in your life, it'd be for nothing. Listen, God wants you to see that Jesus Christ is real.
Amen.
Amen? And that he really paid for your sin debt. And that if you really placed your trust, your faith in him, he will give you eternal life. God's got to bring us to that. And so likewise, he's doing that with these disciples in a sense of helping them understand the resurrection. God wants us to believe the truth, does he not? Doesn't want us to believe the lie, and he's even working with his disciples here. So let's look at the second point here, and this is what happened when Christ is involved. And the Lord here himself draws near with these disciples. Look at verse 13. And behold, two of the disciples went that day, they weren't believing, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. They say about a good 5-hour walk, right? Or a few hours anyway. But anyway, it's about 7 miles, I think it was. And so anyway, they go this distance, and as they're going, they talk together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, listen, the Lord could have just embedded that in their hearts and minds that he had resurrected from the dead. But God, listen, God's way is to bring us to these things in our own life, in our own sphere. God is the one that is working for you and I to understand these truths in our own personal life. He doesn't just make it happen, but as we seek him, he says we're going to find him. And so they were talking about him, and Jesus draws near, and he goes up to them, and the Lord will draw near to us. If listen, one thing I can tell you for sure, if you seek the Lord, he's going to draw near. He's going to open up our understanding. That's his promise. And so, but notice here, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. God has his time in everything. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one toward another as you walk and are sad? So he could see, you know, he's no stranger, right? But he could see that these disciples are sad, and he knows exactly the reason why. But see, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which the Lord is going to give them. But God, listen, they've got to be brought. God has to bring them to that place. God had to bring you and I to the place where we saw our sin condemned us. May I tell you what I used to think of myself when I was a young person? I didn't kill anybody. I don't steal from people. I'm a pretty good person. Until the Lord shined his light in my life. And then I said, I've thought this. I've thought this against God. I didn't seek him. I was looking out for number one. And yeah, I do deserve hell. God had to bring me to that place. And at that moment, I understood, because somebody was telling me about the Lord, that I needed to put my faith in him and my trust in him. Same word, faith and trust. And that's what happened in that moment, May 8th, 1987. Jesus Christ saved my soul. Amen. And I'll never forget that. That was nothing I did other than just say, I'm guilty, Lord. But God did that for me to see it. I couldn't see it without him. And I put my faith and trust in him. And so what happens here? He draws near to them. Their eyes were holding, and my eyes were holding. This fellow was telling me about the Lord for a couple of weeks. But then when I saw that salvation was a gift of God, by the grace of God, in Ephesians 2:8-9, that's when it all made sense. Oh, that's how it works. God is giving me something I don't deserve. And so he says to them, what kind of communications are these, verse 17, that you have one toward another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? He was with these other disciples, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Everybody knew Jesus Christ and what happened to him. And he said unto them, what things? Isn't that like the Lord? You haven't heard these things? And the Lord says, why does he say what things? He wants to hear your side of the story, because he wants to bring you to his understanding. So the only way that he can do it, God really wants to know what you believe. What do you believe? What do you believe is eternal life? What do you believe is life really all about? Because we're all leaving, aren't we? Yes. Do you know people of all ages leave this world? We think like we're going to live for 20, 30 years, and we may. But you know what? I know a little fellow, Blaine, that we're praying for. He has trusted the Lord, had a bad motorcycle accident. He may go into eternity, but praise the Lord, he's put his trust in the Lord. His mom and dad and family will see them again. It'll be a very heartrending thing. But that's what this side of eternity has for us, is death. But God offers us life eternal. Amen. That will never end. But God has to bring us to that place of understanding, and he's wanting to do that. But we can look at all these things in this life and in this world, and the only thing that has real value is our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't know when our last day is, do we? I'm not trying to frighten anybody. I pray we all live, do we really want to live another 100 years? Whatever you want to live, right? If you could have it. But it's still going to come to an end. Even if you had another 100 years, it's going to come to an end. So it's the relationship with Christ that counts. And look what he does here in verse 18. And one of them whose name is Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, hast not known these things which are come to pass in these days? And yes, the Lord did know, but he's wanting to talk with Cleopas, and he's wanting to talk with us. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, Christ, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, they trusted, that's the same word faith, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Does that ring a bell? The third day? The third day? But they're not connecting it. They're not going to, and get, listen, you and I wouldn't either. If you and I were there with all the other disciples, we would have been devastated, because I'm convinced none of them thought the Lord was going to die. Even though he told them this was going to happen, they didn't digest it. Listen, without God's revelation, without God revealing to you and I what we stand in need of, listen very carefully to this, you and I will never see it. The Bible says, because our sins have blinded us, spiritually speaking, concerning the truth, you and I are blinded to it. But God has come to give us light.
Amen.
And to give us spiritual sight to see these things. That's his will. He wants us to. He's wanting these disciples to see it. They're saved. And so what happens here? And verse 21 again. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also, remember the women? Certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, at the grave. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. They believed it. They saw something that God did for them, did they not, in those angels? God has to do the same for you and I through the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding to see what we really need. And that's a relationship with the Lord that he has already paid for, that is ours for the asking. Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, Peter and John, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, now listen, this is the correction here. This is the Lord drawing near. This is the Lord engaging the disciples. This is the disciples interacting with the Lord. This is the Lord revealing his suffering now. This is what he's doing to them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and that's not an unkind way. He's saying, don't overlook the simplicity of the gospel. And we can do that, and the Lord knows that, because we need him, or we will miss the things of God 100 miles. We will be that far off. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They've been written down. And I would tell you, all these disciples said, we believe the whole word of God. This morning, if you're a saved child of God, do you believe the word of God is the undeniable truth?
Yes.
And yet, can we not miss things in the word of God? Don't be surprised if you get to heaven and you miss some things. In fact, I'd say more than what you think. Concerning what God has revealed to us, we missed it. But the main thing is to know who Jesus Christ is as Savior, and that can't be missed. He says this, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? See, you know what the world thinks? Here's what the world thinks. When you get saved, then your life's supposed to be perfect. That's testimony from children of God, right? It doesn't. You still have trials. In fact, the Bible tells you, in this world, the Lord said, you're going to have trials and tribulation. But you know, the Lord is working those things out for our good. That's where we have to trust the Lord. Remember Joseph and his brothers? They intended to kill him. They meant it for evil, but Joseph said, God meant it for good to save you and your children. Do you think they were happy? There was a famine. Remember the 7-year famine? There are 7 years of plenty, a 7-year famine. The Lord did this and allowed you to do that, that you might come to me here in Egypt and that I would save you and your children. And they thought Joseph wanted to kill them. And he didn't. In fact, he fell on all of them and gave them all a kiss and wept over them. He loved them. Do you know God loves us even more than that? And I don't understand that, but I'm glad he does. And so he says this, Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Listen to this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures these things concerning himself. Now he's teaching them, right? He listened to what they had to say. Now he's teaching them. And they drew nigh, they're in this place to learn, unto the village where they went. And he made, listen, the Lord made as though he would have gone further. Remember, they don't know who he is. God, listen, God can keep you and I from seeing things we need to see, that he wants us to see until the time is right. So he wasn't ready for them to see this yet. So he made as though he would have gone further, right? They got to their house and they're turning this way. And he says, okay, you know, I'm still going on the walk here. And why was that? Notice what happens here. Verse 29, but they constrained him saying, listen to what they're saying. Abide with us. Come on into our house, right? You're traveling. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. It's getting dark. And he went in to tarry with them. So he went in. So there he is. And notice what happens here in verse 30. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them. Did the Lord sit at meat with his disciples on many occasions? Yes, many times. Do you think he broke bread with them on many occasions? Do you think he had a certain way of breaking bread? Absolutely he did, in an honor to and glory to his Father. And so notice what's happening here. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Listen to this. He took bread, Jesus did, and blessed it, just like he always did, and brake and gave it to who? To them. You know why? Because that's who the Lord cares about, us. And so he is the living bread, is he not? And so he gives it to them. Notice what happens at that very moment. Verse 31, and their eyes were what? Opened. And they what? Knew him. They knew who he was. And he vanished out of their sight. Now notice this. And they said one toward another. Listen, can you imagine this? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Did you see one of the disciples say, he didn't say this. Did your heart burn like my heart burned? And we're not talking about heartburn, right? Was the Lord doing something? No, listen to what they said. Listen to what they said. And they said one to another. They were both did not our hearts burn within us while he opened unto us the scriptures? They were both in unison, were they not? That's what the Lord does. And so he says, while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures, and notice what they do here. Remember, they traveled some 5, 6, 7 miles, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. The same hour. Remember, you remember what they told the Lord? Hey, it's getting dark, come on inside. They can't stop. God put a fire in their hearts, and they wanted to tell the others. So they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. That's a testimony God gave them. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of... How? In the breaking of bread. Did you see that right there? In the breaking of bread is what they saw him do many times and they knew it was him. And very quickly, and we're going to finish up here very quickly here. Look at the work of Christ here. He opens up their understanding. And as they thus spake, remember the disciples got back, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, still terrified, and suppose that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. And notice what the Lord says. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands. They didn't say anything. These were thoughts, but the Lord knows our thoughts. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. He wanted to see. He was real. He wanted them to see. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? He says, I'm going to show you because ghosts can't eat, right? This is going to pass through them. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He didn't need to eat, but he was doing this for them. And of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So if you want to know where this is written about in the Old Testament, the Lord just told us right there. Then listen to this, verse 45. And this is the last verse. After these events, this is the way the Lord does it, then opened he their understanding. Who opened the disciples' understanding? The Lord did. that they might understand the scriptures. Very quickly, look at verse 8. And they remembered his words. The Lord did that. Did you see that, verse 8? Very quickly, look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened. Who did that? The Lord opened up their eyes because he knew them in the breaking of bread, right? And the last one, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And this is what God does by his wisdom, mercy, and grace in the life of every believer and those who had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He opens up our understanding. So if you have any questions in life, why not go to the author of life? If you have any questions of what life is really all about, if you want real peace, isn't it good to know that you have eternal life and a home in heaven because of the love and mercy of God? Because if it was dependent upon me, would you be sure you'd get it? What if, you could live a so-called, we can't live a perfect life, but in our minds we might live a perfect life and then really blow it at the end. Would you want to have a salvation like that? That, oh yeah, you almost got it. Oh, you were close. Oh boy, did you blow it at the end? That would be my story. Amen? I am glad that when Jesus Christ paid the debt, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And you can believe and you can put your faith and you can put your trust today, if you haven't already, in a Savior who loves you and paid the whole price for your eternal life. And as a child of God, know that you have a God that loves you, that will guide you every step of the way as you call upon him. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we reflect and remember the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know the hearts and minds that are gathered in this room, but you do. You know each and every one. And Lord, if there's more than one that or one that does not know you as their Savior, may you speak to them as only you can. Open up their understanding that they might see their need to trust you as Savior. And Lord, may they know that if they have any questions, I'd be glad to speak to them even today, right after the service, if they have any questions concerning eternal life, and I can show them how they might receive you even today. Not might, but for sure. Lord, work in hearts and minds, even in your people, Lord, today. And may we draw nearer to you and understand more about you. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.